Hello, and welcome to The Essential Reads. My name is Isaac, and my goal is to bring to you a bunch of classic audiobooks in an easy and accessible way. Thanks to your votes, we are officially starting on Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. If you like the show and like what I do here, you can support me either directly on YouTube with likes, comments, shares, on podcast with shares and reviews, or more directly with Patreon, where you can support me for a very little amount in a subscription format for like €1 a month or $1 a month, depending on where you're based. Or you can give me a slightly larger donation here on YouTube or on Ko-Fi, the links of which are in the description. Without further ado, let us start with one of the, if not the most famous opening lines in literary history. Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Chapter 1. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man, in possession of a good fortune, must be in want of a wife. However little known the feelings or views of such a man may be on his first entering a neighbourhood, this truth is so well fixed in the minds of the surrounding families that he is considered as the rightful property of someone or other of their daughters.
"My dear Mr. Bennet,"
his lady said to him one day,
"have you heard that Netherfield Park is let at last?"
Mr. Bennet replied that he had not.
"But it is," returned she, "for Mrs. Long has just been there, and she told me all about it."
Mr. Bennet made no answer.
"Oh, do you not want to know who has taken it?"
cried his wife impatiently.
"You want to tell me, and I have no objection to hearing it."
This was invitation enough.
"Why, my dear, you must know. Mrs. Long says that Netherfield is taken by a young man of large fortune from the north of England, that he came down Monday in a chaise and four to see the place, and was so much delighted with it that he agreed with Mrs. Morris immediately that he is to take possession before Michaelmas. And some of his servants are to be in the house by end of next week."
"What is his name?"
"Billingley."
"Is he married or single?"
"Oh, single, my dear, to be sure. A single man of large fortune, 4,000 or 5,000 a year. What a fine thing for our girls."
"How so? How can it affect them?"
"My dear Mr. Bennet," replied his wife, "how can you be so tiresome? You must know that I am thinking of his marrying one of them."
"Is that his design in settling down here?"
"Design? Nonsense! How can you talk so? But it is very likely that he may fall in love with one of them, and therefore you must visit him as soon as he comes."
"Oh, I see no occasion for that. You and the girls may go, or you may send them by themselves, which perhaps will be still better, for you are as handsome as any of them. Mr. Bingley might like you best of the party."
"My dear, you flatter me. I certainly have had my share of beauty. But I do not pretend to be anything extraordinary now. When a woman has 5 grown-up daughters, she ought to give over thinking of her own beauty."
"In such cases, a woman has not often much beauty to think of."
"But, my dear, you must indeed go and see Mr. Bingley when he comes into the neighbourhood."
"It is more than I engage for, I assure you."
"But consider your daughters. Only think what an establishment it would be for one of them. Sir William and Lady Lucas are determined to go, merely on that account. For in general, you know they visit no newcomers. Indeed, you must go, for it will be impossible for us to visit him if you do not."
"You are over-scrupulous, surely. I dare say Mr. Bingley will be very pleased to see you. And I will send in a few lines by you to assure him of my hearty consent to his marrying whichever he chooses of the girls. Though I must throw in a good word for my little Lizzie."
"I desire you to do no such thing. Lizzie is not a bit better than the others. I'm sure she's not half so handsome as Jane, nor half so good-humoured as Lydia. But you're always giving her the preference."
"They have none of them much to recommend them," replied he. "They're all silly and ignorant, like other girls. But Lizzie has something more of quickness than her sisters."
"Mr. Bennet, how can you abuse your children in such a way? You take delight in vexing me. You've no compassion on my poor nerves."
"You mistake me, my dear. I have high respect for your nerves. They are my old friends. I have heard you mention them with consideration these 20 years at least.
You do not know what I suffer.
But I hope you will get over it, and live to see many young men of 4,000 a year come into the neighbourhood.
It'll be no use for us if 20 should come, since you will not visit them.
Depend upon it, my dear. When there are 20, I will visit them all. Mr. Bennet was so odd a mixture of quick parts, sarcastic humour, reserve and caprice, that the experience of 23 years had been insufficient to make his wife understand his character. Her mind was less difficult to develop. She was a woman of mean understanding, little information, and uncertain temper. When she was discontented, she fancied herself nervous. The business of her life was to get her daughters married. Its solace was visiting and news. Thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed, please like, comment, share, all that jazz. And if you really enjoyed, do subscribe, because there is more to come. And if you're listening on podcast, please leave a review and share the podcast and all that fun stuff. And if you want to support me, because these chapters are probably going to be shorter, you can always leave a super thanks, like a little donation, because I don't get mid-roll ads if they're under 8 minutes. Which, you know, drastically increases my salary. And though this book has a lot of chapters, they're rather short. So that would be very appreciated if you would like to do that. If you want to support me in a more long-term way, you can always go to the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you will have access to exclusive audiobooks. But this is the first chapter of Pride and Prejudice, and I can't wait to bring you the second on Sunday. Yep, Sunday. Once again, thank you very much for listening. And until then, bye-bye.